You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, can we get Sam real quick a live listen at what it's like when a team scores a goal and Dan Weinbaum is watching soccer in the newsroom, please?
Okay. Whew.
I always feel bad for the team that loses, and we just equally love England and Argentina here. They were like a little part of our family for
a
while.
Of course.
There can only be one winner. Mm-hmm. I also feel like in soccer, you see them all sort of hugging each other when it's over in a way. Sometimes in the NFL, you see that. For some reason with baseball, have you noticed this? It's good game, good game, good game. With your own players, but we don't good game the opposition here.
Yeah.
After Little League.
Soccer, this is international soccer, so... So many of these people
know each other.
Know each other because they play on the league teams around the world.
Let's go back to the newsroom. sorry, Dan, what was that?
We're talking about
so exciting.
Talking about a police dog that bites on the orders of its officer, its handler.
A shooting
victim.
Sorry, you were saying.
That was also the noise the shooting victim was making when the police dog attacked him
bad.
In the emergency room parking lot.
I am not laughing.
And all I hear out there is... Yeah.
Well,
it's been that kind of day.
I'm glad I wore both jerseys.
You did, I know.
As you can see, I still have my special England Kansas City 2026 jersey. I took that off. I am now dressed in my Argentina kit, because as a lifelong fan of the past 6 days,
yes,
I'm pulling for Argentina. Now.
I'm glad to hear it, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
What are we down to now? What oh, look at the little buddy crying.
There's
a little buddy in the stands crying
game
for England.
Left.
Spain
one taking
left.
On Argentina for the final, the 2026 World Cup. Argentina could go back to back. Coverage starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. There are watch parties that are set up around town.
Sunday morning. Okay.
Sporting.
I'll watch the final
the
on
current,
Sunday. I'll the, absolutely watch it. And it's in New York, correct?
Yeah, it's the New York, New Jersey stadium.
Aw, oh, Harry Kane looks sad.
I know some of the players are crying.
Poor Harry Kane.
I never like there to be anybody who loses. You know that.
I mean, this sport will break your heart.
It will. It will. Okay, we're done. Let's move on.
Not done yet.
Ooh, let's talk about the Northland.
I think that guy is still calling it.
They are still calling. They are still dancing.
No,
shirts.
Dan, that wasn't that guy.
Shirts
that was
are
you
off.
In the newsroom.
Shirts
we can hear
are off.
You.
I'm like, I'm a... Really? Does he need emergency medical assistance?
I need
he
a
does.
Lozenge, please.
I think he does. We're going to start this hour up in the Northland. Every time you guys drive around any city, for the most part, we see these banners. And downtown in Kansas City right now, I'm assuming the banners are World Cup banners. And I don't mean the kind that goes all across the street, like during Christmas time. The little street light banners. They are rectangular.
Vertical, about
They're
a foot wide,
vertical,
3 foot tall.
About 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Vertical banners.
Put
so,
up by Public Works,
yes,
the municipality.
They're all over every city.
Yeah.
Like Prairie
yeah,
Village,
decorating.
It says, the city of trees. You know, in Kansas City right now, it says, welcome, soccer fans. Like, whatever your banner is in whatever town you live in. Leawood 1 year had one that said one for O-N-E for the state line. Like, we are one Kansas City, right? You know what I'm talking about. Let's go to the Northland. In the Northland, they spent a lot of money on streetlight banners. In fact, they spent more than $16,000 putting banners up for the good and the cohesiveness of their community. Here's the problem, according to Matt Fleener over at KNBC 9 News. A majority of the 250 streetlight banners installed more than 2 years ago to promote Kansas City in the Northland have either now fallen or blown away. The attachment mechanism is very important when you're putting up these vertical banners.
So they look like a wasteland, not the Northland.
The banners cost taxpayers $16,380, and they are now mostly missing along the streetlights in the Northland in three highly visible areas.
What a great use for taxpayer dollars,
by the
way.
Oh, just wait, it gets worse.
That sounds awesome.
The city bought and installed the banners in February of 2024. City leaders now admit the banner hardware failed on many of the streetlights. They are now debating how much it will cost to replace them.
No, do not replace them.
No, just wait. First District Council member Nathan Willett advocated for their installation near schools in the Northland as the city installed other signs during the Chiefs Super Bowl parade. We all remember those vertical signs on the streetlights. The locations included one in the Shoal Creek area, one near Staley High School, one near Zona Rosa. Channel 9 noticed the missing banners in the locations and started asking city leaders about what happened to them. Willett promoted the installation of the banners in 2024. It was a great idea. I'm not saying it wasn't, to show off community pride with blue banners for the Liberty Public Schools, green for Staley High School, and red by Park Hill High School. Fabulous. Quoting here from Willett, I believe they can do a better job of installation to make them last longer on round two.
I love it when they go to interview these officials and they have nothing to say other than the most obvious possible, well, I hope they secure them better next time.
They spend money on other parts of the city to show off their pride. The Northland deserves its share of resources, too. Does the Northland always have this complex, by the way?
We're the unwanted
Yes,
child.
Don't forget about us in the Northland. We didn't. You got your banners. You just forgot to affix them correctly.
Now, to be clear, this is Kansas City north of the river, not the city of North Kansas City,
correct? Correct. Okay. It's just the Northland.
Yeah, Kansas City, north.
Here's the problem. It may cost much more to replace the banners than the original $16,000.
Please just stop.
According to Kansas, you can't.
Just
no, you cannot make this up.
Just tear them down
according
and leave
to
them off.
Kansas City's other first district councilman, Kevin O'Neill. O'Neill said, "I didn't have anything to do with the installation of the banners." But he has received an estimate from the city's public works department that it will now cost $150,000 to reinstall the banners.
You're giving me a headache.
Why was it $16,000 the first time and now it's going to be $150,000? They don't get into that.
Are these World Cup?
They are World Cup-esque style banners, Dan.
Oh.
These were installed a couple of years ago back during the Chiefs parade era.
Right.
When downtown got all of the rah-rah Chiefs banners, the Northland said, well, we want blue ones and green ones and red ones for Park Hill and Staley and Liberty to show off our Northland pride.
I was thinking if they were World Cup banners that maybe people were going around taking souvenirs.
Wait, to show off Liberty High School? That's in a different city.
Sam, I'm just reading the news.
You're giving me a migraine right now.
Quoting here from Mr. O'Neill, who does not think they should spend the $150,000 to replace the $16,000 in missing banners. The money would have to come from the Public's Improvement Advisory Committee. And, quote, I'm not sure I want to put $150,000 into something that was done poorly the first time.
So they affixed these banners to these light poles. Did they not use zip ties?
I don't know, Dan. My guess would be the most appropriate thing to use would be the 16-cent zip tie. Don't know what they used.
Anything but what they did use.
Willett is saying this is the pro let's redo the banners guy, that the estimate could be cut down by $50,000 by not installing the banners on every pole.
Stop the planet.
That's it.
Can I remind everybody really quickly?
If you'd like to report a banner-related issue, by the way, please call 311.
We were bragging in our last budget as a city of Kansas City that we were going to be $100 million in arrears. Why are we still spending money on stupid stuff like banners on a pole?
I think the bigger question is, why was it $16,000 to put them in the first time and it's $150,000 to replace them 2 years later?
Inflation?
Look, I know that it's more expensive to buy meat right now and cheese and sometimes eggs, but really?
Well, they had to go for the heavy-duty zip ties.
I'm not anti-banner here.
Those are $200 a pop.
This is like the anti-banner people need to get together with the airport art people because that didn't work either. Remember the ceiling art?
Yeah, that was falling and thankfully didn't kill anybody.
We have a problem here with fixing things. Oh, I loved that art, man.
It was.
I wouldn't want it, you know, impaling Nana.
Cost the city $3 million and is no longer in use. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks.
Why do you tell
this?
Me these stories?
Not looking to make this a topic, but these people live amongst us, and so here we go. An operation led by the Clay County Sheriff's Department and their Special Victims Unit specifically during the time that the FIFA World Cup was here resulted in the arrest of seven men who were caught attempting to engage in illegal activity with a minor. Child enticement operations took place in June and July, where undercover detectives posed as young teenage girls online. Quoting here, we know human trafficking increases around large events like the World Cup. We wanted to help disrupt that.
It was a major concern with I-70, yep. I-35, and of course, yep. the thousands of travelers coming in that it would ramp up.
The majority of those arrested resided right here in the Kansas City area. One of them, 23-year-old Reginald Pittman of Shawnee, Kansas, says additional charges may be forthcoming on top of the felony attempted enticement of a minor because Pittman is a registered Kansas sex offender for sexual exploitation of a minor, fourth-degree child molestation. He is also on probation in Jackson County for possession of child sexual abuse material. I will remind you, he is 23 years old, was on probation for those crimes when he got caught up in the dragnet of the Clay County case.
We were talking the other day about after you serve your time. Sorry, I'm struggling here. After you serve your time in a case like this, is there a case where they should just lock you up and throw away the key? You said he's what, 24 years
23.
Old? 23. Yeah, sorry, we lost the key.
23. And then this update out of Ohio. The state of Ohio says it plans to invest $1 million to support the care for those 16 rescued children. The state of Ohio is considering a path to invest $1 million to support 16 children rescued from a home in Vinton County. According to two people familiar with the request, the Department of Children and Youth is in the process of filing a late agenda item to request the money to support those kids ages 17 months to 18 years with foster care placements and court proceedings. The filing is going to then a controlling board, which is expected to approve the award at its next meeting. The county has said, the small town where this happened, said the care of those children would bankrupt the county. They don't have the money to handle that. The other little update of note in that case today is that a judge has ordered it's a gag order. Now, are you okay in there? What did you do?
Have you ever been chewing? Oh my God, I'm going to die again. Hang on.
What did you do?
Have you ever been chewing something very sturdy like carrot?
Yep.
And sneezed while you're doing it? And all of it goes up into your nose?
No, I've never had a carrot in my nose, Sam.
So I was speed eating some carrot before we came back from break because mm-hmm. I knew I was probably going to have to chime in at some point, and I was trying to get it down, and then I sneezed.
How'd that go? How'd that work out?
I've spent the last, I don't know, 4 minutes blowing my nose, and there's still chunks of carrot coming
gross!
Out of my nose, and
that
I can still feel the chunks of carrot in my sinus. I can feel it, and every time I talk, it vibrates. And
do you need a doctor?
I don't know if I'm going to be okay. There's carrot all over in here.
You need one of those, like when we had toddlers, that little bulbous thing that you stick up there to suck stuff out. Only I'm not offering, nor would I. Good luck. Good luck with that, Sam. And then this, definitely not looking to make this a topic, but I was furious when they had the guts to even ask. The Carr brothers have had their clemency request denied by Kansas Governor Laura Kelly. I don't think there are two more despicable human beings in the history of our state. Governor Laura Kelly has denied a request by Jonathan and Reginald Carr to have their death sentences commuted to life in prison. No, no, no. The brothers were convicted of a series of graphic, brutal, gruesome crimes that happened back in December of 2000 and left five people dead. They were convicted of kidnapping, sex abuse, torture, and murder. I believe one of the victims survived.
And remind me again, they asked for the dropping of the death penalty to just do life in prison.
They wanted clemency. Quoting here, I love our governor. Quoting here from Governor Laura Kelly, I have long supported the repeal of the death penalty, believing it impractical and an expensive burden on the state. However, the death penalty is current law in Kansas, and if there ever were a situation in which the death penalty is justified, it is that of the unspeakably heinous acts of torture and murder committed by Reginald and Jonathan Carr. I am so glad. I am so proud of her for that sentence. She could have just signed off on a no without comment.
Right.
But for the families of those victims and the one survivor, for her to say, not just no, I don't even believe in this thing, but if we're going to do it, these are the two people that get it. Good on the governor. She says, I hope this denial provides some comfort for those who still grieved the loss of their young loved ones 26 years later.
So I want to avoid having the philosophical conversation about death penalty or no death penalty, but just in the eyes of the law, it almost seems like getting sentenced to death in some states is almost better.
Yeah, like Florida?
Because you're never going to be executed. I don't know what kind of treatment you get on death row versus not, but you get to appeal every 2 years. You cost the state a bunch of money.
The families have to get dragged back into it every two years.
If there is a cut and dry case, and, you know, we can come up with certain parameters that decide whether or not it's cut and dry.
Timothy McVeigh.
You get 7 days
Bye.
And then you're gone.
I will tell you this. Carr brothers, why are they still here? I don't have an answer for you for that. There is no one more deserving of not being here than those two horrible men. The state of Florida this week is in the news because they just executed, I believe, a 74-year-old yesterday. The three other men up to bat, if you will, are in their late 70s or even 80s. And don't think for 1 minute these crimes occurred a few years ago and they were just old dudes when they committed the crimes. These are crimes that were like back in the late 70s, early 80s, and they are now, just now, executing these men. And people are saying, well, why bother? Well,
right.
Why, if we're going to do this, and I'm not saying that it works because I don't believe that it does. If we're going to do this, why is even the state of Florida executing people at age 80? Why?
Well, and I'm not saying I'd rather be in prison than a free man. Obviously, I'd much rather be a free man. But you commit a violent crime in your young years and you get sentenced to death and you sit on death row for the next 70 years. Why am I, as a taxpayer, paying your rent and your food because you did a bad thing?
The oldest inmate executed in Florida's modern history killed a beautiful young teenage girl in 1982. That's how long it's been. 1982, he murdered 18-year-old Patty Gifford. By the way, her body was never found. They executed him last night at age 74. Good riddance. I'm sorry I said it. I do not shed a tear that man is no longer with us.
And thank you to the text line. Reverse blow the nose like a guttural roll in the throat. And that will clear your sinuses.
I feel like you shouldn't do that.
It worked. It was really gross. And there was a bunch of
carrot. No. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's so disgusting. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
But I'm glad you are no longer actively choking.
Ooh.
I'm licking you. I'm not doing it.
I can describe to you what it felt like
nope.
In detail.
I'm good.
Okay.
We're going to break.
All right.
Bye.
From the text line, and then we'll move on from the carrot. If you bend over and sneeze, the carrot will come out the other end. I'm good.
We're good.
I am good.
We're good. How lazy are we?
Yes.
That there is a lawsuit now claiming that 26 Meta workers were laid off or fired using AI. And I don't mean AI took their jobs because their jobs were no longer needed because AI took over their role. I mean the company didn't even lay off directly their own people. The company is accused of asking AI, who should we lay off? And the computer spit out these 26 names, and they did.
Oh, yeah. Now, this does not surprise me at all because of the trend of what Facebook has been doing, and they were fairly open about it. They weren't open about it initially, but then Mark Zuckerberg kind of just came right out and said it, that in certain positions within Meta, you are actively training an AI to do your job.
Sure.
The Meta AI database is going to watch every single employee and try to catch on to the patterns of how people use computers.
Yeah, and that's how they did this.
Catch on to the intricacies of specific jobs and what they need to do as a computing software to do that job in place of a human. So for them to say to the AI, well, who can you replace the most easily?
Right.
Makes total sense to me.
26 Meta employees have sued, alleging AI-driven layoff picks happen to also hit workers on medical and parental leave, which is why computers get it wrong a whole lot, where your HR professional would not. Listen to this.
You can't fire somebody on medical leave. Right?
If you're a computer, you can, Sam. The 26 Meta employees have sued this company, claiming it used artificial intelligence systems to select people for layoffs, disproportionately targeting those on medical, parental, or family leave. They are among 8,000 employees, or about 10% of its workforce, that Meta said it would lay off in May. The lawsuit filed late Monday in federal court in Oakland claims the company used internal AI systems and keystroke and activity monitoring data.
I was just about to say, I guarantee you it was a productivity
thing. Here's what they did. The computers spit out which employees have not been doing this. Where are the employees that are not typing and mouse moving every single day? And the computers spit out these names. 26 of the 8,000 that were laid off. Many of the scoring and ratings, quote, by design, cannot be accumulated by an employee who is on protected medical or family leave or whose output is reduced by a disability. And according to the lawsuit, the AI did not account when it laid off these people
right.
for people on protected leave. It basically spit out a score.
You're legally not allowed to work. So it's not like they could log in and just start acting like they were working because then they would be in violation of the law.
So listen to this. Many of the employees in the lawsuit were on pregnancy or parental leave, during which time not only would they not have worked, they could not work. So yes, their output as they measured it was reduced. Others took medical leave. One disclosed a serious health condition and disability that was approved. But according to the lawsuit, he was discouraged and deterred from taking that leave by a manager who warned that doing so could result in your selection for the anticipated layoffs. It's one more example where AI is going to do good things. It is helping solve complex DNA sequencing in tracking down diseases. Okay, there's no question
that
AI
sequencing, yeah.
is going to be great for those things. But it cannot be used as a blanket cure-all for everything, and this is a great example. Were these workers who were laid off not doing X number of keystrokes per day? Absolutely they were not. You're right. Ding, ding. Gold star for you, computer. Yeah. They weren't doing the keystrokes because they were on maternity leave.
Well, and their scoring system, which I'm assuming came down from somebody within the realm of Meta. I don't think it was AI I don't think it was AI that said, let's look at keystrokes and how many times people are clicking on their mouse. That probably came from somebody, a real human. Those metrics are dumb because I could sit all day long and do a lot of keystrokes and get nothing done. I do it every day here. Or I could be really efficient and do no keystrokes whatsoever, but still produce the most out of my job. And your little algorithm is going to say, well, Well, you didn't keystroke as much.
Well, here's the other deal. You're so right, Sam. Just because some people keystroke a lot does not mean necessarily they are better at their jobs. It certainly does not mean they are more efficient at their jobs. If you think about it, the fewer keystrokes that you have in, I don't know, writing a memo or a TPS report, in my mind, that makes you more efficient. It doesn't make you worse. And lawyers for the plaintiffs argue just that, that the company's algorithmically assisted selection process by systemically recording absences and reduced keystrokes also fell more heavily on women than men. They say there was a disproportionate number of women laid off because women disproportionately take pregnancy and caregiving leave. And if you had an actual HR manager in lieu of a computer, that HR manager, male or female, would have been the first one to say, you can't fire someone on medical leave. Because again, a human being is going to know that in a way that a computer is not.
Great point from the text line. And logically, if you write an AI code well enough, it should consider a bunch of different logical points that would include the metric of income.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'm sure Zuckerberg doesn't have a lot of keystrokes.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to bet he is in the top dog of income.
It would be super awkward if it spit out his name, wouldn't
it?
Super awkward. Let's go to Dave and Shawnee. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dana, just a big shout out to you for you and Sam for doing heavy lifting. I wish Scott well, and I hope he's getting better, and I can't wait for him to come back. But anyway, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate that, Dave, very much. Appreciate you.
So the other thing is, how do we, and I just told the screener, how do we not know that the damn computer did design the algorithm to figure out the keystrokes? I mean, Skynet is here. Let's be honest. It's everywhere. You know, you had said that maybe it was a person that did that. This whole thing is probably AI computer generated from algorithms that the whole system may have put in place. This is bad.
Does it matter, though, Dave? Does it matter when either way, if they are disproportionately laying off women on medical leave or who had just had a baby? Like, I don't know that it matters whether a human being told the computer to do it or a computer taught itself to do it. The outcome is still illegal.
Well, no, the outcome is terrible.
Yeah.
I assume it's a class action lawsuit. Do we know that part of it at least?
It will be because it falls under Title IX, I think, Dave.
Okay, good. Because Meta just, I hope that those people, I don't know if Meta will do anything or they'll just throw money at the problem, but I really hope they can put a big hurt on them.
So, well, and Dave, I hope that other corporations, and thank you for the call and the kind words, I hope that other corporations look at this and say, look, we can use AI for all kinds of great reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You still need a human being. We're talking about 26 employees who are suing. You mean to tell me there wasn't an HR professional that we say, okay, the computer spit out all of these employees. There wasn't a single HR professional in all of Meta that couldn't have looked over that data and said, now, wait a minute.
I was about to make that exact point.
Yeah, I see Catherine here, age 26. She just had twins. She's on maternity leave. We can't fire her.
What is the one thing that we have talked about more than anything with these large language new AI models? They are often wrong. You have to double check them. From the text line, if Meta was dumb enough to have this AI system pump out this list and didn't have a human double check it, they deserve to be sued.
Start adding zeros.
Yeah.
Start adding zeros, people. 913-586-7798. Phones are still ringing. We'll take a couple calls on this when we get back on Dana and Parks here on KMBZ. Real quick, let's go to Jason in North Kansas City, and then we're going to move on to another interesting national anthem rendition. Hello, Jason. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
I didn't really plan this call out, and it's a little complicated, but man, I was going to make a grievance out of this as far as AI is concerned.
You go right ahead.
I used to do Instacart. I stopped last week because I had it. I took a break from it.
Yeah.
But a few months ago, they instituted basically an AI program that I probably shouldn't have said the name. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But they instituted what's called Shop Quality. And it's basically an AI that monitors how you shop.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I'm going to point out is my rating is a 4.99 out of 5.
Good.
And the AI is telling me I'm not doing it right. Now, I'm still okay as far as the metrics is concerned, but it will, it just, it monitors you and it tags you. And this is all verifiable. You can get on Google right now and check it out. It doesn't understand what you're doing. Like the biggest tag that you get, and please don't take it out on your shopper if you've requested an item or not requested an item that just happens to show up on your order, because they are, the whole thing for it is to push us to replace an item. If you don't contact me and I'm trying to tell you, hey, it's not here, I am forced to replace it. And if I don't, I get tagged.
Oh, no.
And if I get tagged, right. And if I get tagged for that, it reduces my access to priority batches, which is a major hit. Now, here's the thing that really is upsetting, is that if you don't like what I did, then you can tag me on the customer rating side. And then I lose my access to priority batches. If people are getting mad at me, they have totally put us in between.
But you would, and you wouldn't even have any way to know that, Jason, right?
No, I know everything. I know when I'm getting tagged for, well, I mean, no, actually you're right. I mean, I wouldn't know who gave me the bad rating, but I mean.
So then to me, and real quick, thank you for the call because we're up against the break. Real quick, then how do you know? If you don't get a tip or you get a thumbs down and you don't know where it's coming from, how are you supposed, I mean, maybe someone was just grumpy that day and you didn't do anything wrong.
It's also out of his control for whether or not they have the product in stock.
Right?
Like, why are you dinging me? Because the store sucks.
They're out of tomatoes.
Do you want to get to this?
Okay. Is it good or is it bad?
Apparently, it starts out okay, and then it kind of gives off old lady screaming at clouds vibes at the end.
Patti LaBelle, I mean, we love Patti LaBelle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huge, superstar, phenomenal voice.
She sings that one song or
yes,
something.
Yes. Yeah, I love Patti LaBelle. She apparently did the national anthem at the All-Star Game, and you either loved it or you booed. Okay.
Those broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Just wait till she turns it up a notch.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rang up a mercy in air.
I gotta be honest, she kind of nailed it at the end there, but yeah, the middle towards
it's okay.
The end.
She put some flair, and you know, we've talked about this before. There are people who are purists. It needs to be sung this way, and this is the only way, and we don't do it any other way. She added some flair. That was Patti LaBelle. Folks, she is 82 years old.
Overall, I think she did well. Yeah.
I thought it was just fine. I mean, she went down with her voice when some people would go up, you know, and at the end, oh man, I think, you know, if you had a fine, delicate china glass in your hand, it probably shattered, but she nailed it. It wasn't like the fray.
From the text line, Carrington Harrison said it was good.
It is. I think it was just fine.
From the text line, thought the headlines, it sounded great.
I read the headlines and thought it was going to be something really bad. That's not bad.
I think she did pretty well.
82. I dare you all to try to sound like that at 82 years old.
Also from the text line, why are my ears bleeding?
Yeah, the ending, it did go a little high at the end. We are back to wrap up the final hour of Dana and Parks. Straight ahead.
Get the Dana and Parks podcast, KMBZ.com, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just don't forget to like, subscribe, and download.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.